Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. It is the show that helps you connect with your intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Now, today we have got on something that sort of was very, very close to my heart for many, many years. And of course, it's all about finances, especially when I was going through my relationship breakdown. And then I had to start to look at finances in a different way to what I looked at when I was in a relationship, because my ex-husband, he dealt with all the money. So I didn't have any say in it, really. So having Patty on today, she is going to help us get an understanding of the finances. And as a child, you know, finances, money, it was like a dirty word. You just didn't use it and you didn't talk about it. But I want to talk about it. I want to talk about those taboo subjects like finances and bring that forward. But that's enough of me talking. I want to bring Patty onto the show so you can get to know Patty and get an understanding of what finances and your financial journey is all about and see how you can be guided intuitively with that. So welcome to the show, Patty.
Thank you so much, Susan. I'm so happy to be here. Appreciate you having me.
We're looking forward to it. And like I said, I did have issues as a child. It was like you didn't talk about money as a child. It was a no-no. Then I went into a marriage and I had no control over the finances and nothing to do with that. So when my 20-year relationship marriage broke down, all of a sudden I was in full control over my finances and it was absolutely terrifying. It was really scary. It was almost like, let's go back to the marriage so he can deal with that. But yeah, no, I didn't happen. But before we get stuck into that, Patty, tell us a little bit about you and your background. Like, how did you get to where you are now?
Yeah, thank you. And your story is not a uncommon one. I hear it all the time where the husband took care of the finances and suddenly these women are on their own, whether it's by divorce or their spouse passing. So it's, yeah, very, very common. So thank you again. I'm Patty Handy. I am a financial coach. I came from corporate banking many, many years. I went through a divorce myself when my son was 18 months old and I did not want to put him in daycare. So I had to figure out a way to make money and want to raise him on my own. And so I got into the mortgage business. I was a mortgage advisor for about 17 years, which allowed me to work at home. And I had a flexible schedule, which was great for, the single mommyhood thing. And then I decided I wanted to get into financial planning. So I went and got my licenses and all that good stuff. And I became a financial advisor for a number of years. And between the mortgage world and the financial advisory world, I heard many, many conversations with ladies who were much like you. And that was, I don't know where to start. I didn't ever manage the money. I'm overwhelmed. This is scary. I'm embarrassed. I mean, it's same thing over and over. And I decided to leave my firm and start my own financial coaching business. And that's the journey that I'm on now. And it's very fulfilling and enjoyable. I'm able to help ladies understand their money, become masters at managing it, and become badass investors. Can I use that word on the website, on the podcast? Is that okay?
You certainly can. You can use any words. Well, almost any words. And when you talk about, because investing, once I got the hang of it and everything else, investing was one of those things that I really looked into, because I just felt that we can do our 9-to-5 job, but unless we start to do some investing, unless we start to get financially savvy, we can never get ahead, you know, and we constantly have children and grandchildren and there's always those things that we have to do. But yeah, one of the things that I did was I started to really research into finances and what to invest in and how to invest and all the rest of it. And I have to put my hand up, Patty, to be honest, as much as I loved learning about it, I was still too scared to go that way for a long, long time. So yeah. I want to go back a little bit more and go, because you've gone through all that. You've got all the learning. You've got all the knowledge and all the understanding. Not only have you got the learning, you've got the experience as well. So you're certainly our number one expert here. What would people be feeling and experiencing in that financial aspect enough for them to sort of go, okay, I need some help and step forward?
Yeah, it basically comes down to the realization that it's all on them, and suddenly that empowerment lifts up where you go, okay, I am going to take control of my finances. It's up to me. Nobody cares more about my money than I do. And so I'm going to learn everything that I can about investing and managing and understanding credit and all the other nuances of investing and money in general. And then it also has to do with their why. You know, why is it that they want to dive into that world? And it's usually connected to, I want to take care of my family. I don't want to be a burden to my kids when I'm older. I want to live a enjoyable lifestyle. You know, those are the emotional pieces that are attached to that, that are so critical and so important for, you know, that why and that leverage that we use on ourselves. And I applaud you for, you know, doing the homework and doing the due diligence and getting in the nitty gritty and investing. And unfortunately, there's so much noise online these days, and there's so much out there that makes you feel like, oh my gosh, it's just this big taboo product or project in the sky, and investing is scary and it's dangerous and I don't get it, I'm just going to stay away from it. And it's really not that, you know, once you learn the basics, it's really actually easier than you think. It really is. You just haven't learned it yet, and once you do, you know, it's easy.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, because I did learn all the understanding. I've certainly got the theory. I get the understanding of it all and everything else. I guess the next step was to take that step and get the practice and the experience as well, which is where you can come in line and you can help in that context.
Right.
But why do we have things like, I guess I'm going to go into more of the spiritual realm or the emotional realm. Why do we have these hang-ups? Why is it that money is a dirty word? Why is it we don't talk about finances? Why is it such a taboo subject? And the other aspect is, it's like, oh, I don't want to invest in that because, you know, I might make a mistake and lose my money, or, you know, all this sort of crap, really.
Yeah, it is crap. So in answer to your first question, when it comes to why is it taboo, you know, as a society, if somebody says, oh gosh, I love money, this is just, I love money, it's looked down upon. It's like, you know, oh God, that just doesn't feel right. And so the conversations are often just not really embellished, if you will. And it isn't that we love money because we love money. It's what money can do for us, the choices and the freedom, the ability to donate, the ability that make a difference in the world. So, if we look at it in that context versus, oh, I just want money because I want to be able to buy a big fancy car or big fancy house or whatever, that's a different element. But, you know, if you look back on generations past, and I can look at, you know, my parents and my grandparents, the men typically took care of the money, and the women were the ones that just stayed at home and, you know, took care of the kids. And, It's changed. Today, it's a very different situation. We see a lot more ladies taking charge in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, taking charge of the money and getting in there and learning everything, which is fantastic. But it is, you know, part of it is a reflection of what we grew up with, which is our money story and our relationship with money and that money mindset that we have and that limiting belief that, you know, whatever that is that you heard growing up. The money mindset conversation is a I can go for 2 hours, but, you know, in essence, we learned from birth to age 8, we were a sponge. Our brain was completely open and we just took in what we heard from our parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever. And we took it all in as truth. We didn't have a filter to say, you know what, that doesn't make any sense, mom. I don't think that's not really true, or dad, that's not right. We just took it in as truth. So their limiting beliefs And if they were from the Great Depression era, if they were, you know, whatever era they were from, their impact is now your impact. So you believe that money doesn't grow on trees, rich people are greedy, rich people only get rich by hurting other people, you know, whatever it is that you heard growing up. And those limiting beliefs can damper that, like you mentioned, that thought of it being taboo.
Ah, okay. All right. So we've got these limiting beliefs and we've obviously picked them up because, well, we know no better, really. And I remember struggling through those limiting beliefs too for quite some time there. And honestly, I still feel that there's still some lingering, you know, like we can't just get rid of them all in one big foul swoop, although I'd love to. So when we're looking at, because we might as well step through this. I love how we're going with it. So when we're looking at these limiting beliefs, because to me that is your first thing. It's no good building a house if you haven't got your foundations right. So to me, this is part of your foundations, the foundations of getting our mindset right before we go in. And a lot of that is about risk, you know, the risk you want to take, the amount you want to, all those sort of things. So what is our first step? The first step is that we've understood that we have limiting beliefs because we've just discussed it. What's our next step? How do we address those limiting beliefs?
Yeah, great question. And good for you for understanding that that is the foundation. The mechanics of money and the strategies and to invest and all that, that can be learned. The money mindset and our relationship and those limiting beliefs is the foundation. And if you don't build a house on a solid foundation, the house will crumble, right? So yes, absolutely 100%. We've got to know what those limiting beliefs are, how they play a part. Those beliefs affect our thoughts. Our thoughts affect our actions, and our actions then result in our external world. So if you are constantly struggling with finances and you don't feel like you're ever going to get ahead, you don't know if you have limiting beliefs or what they are, just look at your outside external world. Look at your bank account. Look at how you look at debt. Look at, you know, all that. So one of the first steps is identify what those beliefs are. Now, oftentimes it's hard to know what those are, but if we take some time and we journal on it and we really reflect, we can oftentimes come up with, oh yeah, I do remember hearing mom say this or hearing dad say that, or yeah, I remember when we were at this restaurant and, you know, they wouldn't let us buy soda because it was too expensive. I just had to have water, or, you know, whatever it is that happened in your life, right? Be aware of those, document those down, and then we're going to find fault in those. So we want to poke holes, so to speak, in the boat, and realize, you know, these aren't true. This is not reality. These are not my truths. They might have been my parents' truths because it was their parents' truths, right? But the ancestor that we have, that, you know, their world is not our world. So we can then realize that, okay, this is not our truth. And we unlearn and we unpack, and it's really getting down and dirty with regards to understanding what those are. So it starts with an awareness. It's then poking holes and understanding that that's not true. And then you relearn and you reprogram your mind, your subconscious mind, to abundance, to the fact that money is everywhere. Money is energy. Money is it's not a zero sum game. It's not like if you earn a lot of money, someone else is not able to earn a lot of money. There's enough money around, you know, the world to go around for everybody. So you start to realize and you say those, you know, those, that reality, it then becomes a new paradigm shift for you. And it's a slow process. And I think it's a lifelong journey. So you had mentioned that you're still struggling with that. And that's very common. I think, you know, everybody has a little bit of something going on because it's in our subconscious mind, right? But it's really, again, understanding, unpacking that, finding the faults with that, reprogramming. And by reprogramming, there's many different ways to do that. Many of the top individuals speak about hypnosis. They speak about, you know, the positive affirmations, and, you know, the law of attraction, all that. But if, you know, be careful with the law of attraction, because if you're focused on the, you know, the lack in the world, guess what you're going to attract?
Yeah, right? Exactly. But so, hang on, Patty, before you go forward to the unlearn what you've learned, I just wanted to give an example, because when you were talking about that, this sort of thoughts came into my head, because I was thinking, well, how did I get an understanding of my mindset, you know, or how I was thinking? And I remember thinking to myself, all right, what if I had a lot of money? What if I came into a lot of money? You know, I had money and I could buy this and I could buy that. I went to, what would my dad think? What would my mum think? What would my parents think?
Interesting.
And when I connected that way, it was like, well, you know, dad would probably say, oh, rich people, you know, they're greedy or something. You know, you get these little messages coming back. So yeah. When I started going, okay, well, what would my boyfriend think at the time? My boyfriend. Oh, he wouldn't be impressed because he wants to be the breadwinner, not me. So he had to have more money than me. And when I started to ask these questions and get that understanding, that was when I went, oh, okay, so now I can see where I need to poke holes, as you said, you know. That gave me that awareness. And it wasn't until I started asking those questions that I realized that that was their beliefs, and I was taking their beliefs on board. And right. That was my aha moment. So now if I turn around and I said, wow, what if I won a lot of money? How would my partner now feel? And he would be over the moon. He would be excited, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live. So the whole, and then I've gone, okay, well, I don't have his money mindset. Like I don't have to take on that negative, because his is a positive. So that was just one little hint that may help people get an understanding of what their money mindset is. Just work it out. If you bought home a brand new car one day, what would your kids say? What would your next door neighbors say? And see if you take on board their money mindsets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and it makes perfect sense. We have that, you know, mom and dad in our ear, right, that we are taking in. And so, yeah, it absolutely does make sense. Another way to kind of gauge your relationship with money, if you are at a dinner with a group of friends, say eight of you, and the check comes, and your particular portion was, you know, you just ordered a salad, that's it. And others ordered, you know, prime rib and wine and drinks. And so your portion was considerably smaller, but the check comes and they go, okay, we're going to divide by eight. What's your original thought? Is it like, wait a minute, I only had a salad, I'm not going to pay for your drinks? Or is it, okay, whatever, eight, fine, no problem. So if you're immediately going, ugh, that's not right, you're probably living in a place of fear. There's probably some scarcity when it comes to money. Now, is it fair to split by eight? No, it's fair to split by whatever you purchased, right? But it shouldn't be a, you know, bone of contention in the middle of a dinner with eight friends. But it is an idea, or a message, if you will, that, oh, I have still that scarcity fear. I'm not going to have enough money, and I've got to watch my pennies. So that's a good way to kind of gauge that as well.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's just that awareness. It's like, because you don't know that people sitting around the table could do that every week, and you sort of go, well, hang on, that's getting a little bit much. But, you know, it's getting that awareness and getting that understanding. Now, then we started talking about poking holes in it. How are you poking holes in it?
You basically find fault. You find the lies. You look at that and you go, that's not true. You know, there's a lot of very wealthy people who are generous and loving and giving, very philanthropic, and they love to donate. So no, not all rich people are greedy. They're just not that. I always say that money makes you more of what you already are. If you're a, you know, greedy snot, I'll keep the language clean, then you'll be a bigger greedy snot when you get a lot more money. But if you are a generous, loving, giving person, more money will allow you to be more generous and more giving. So it doesn't change you as a person to have more money. But as you poke holes into those stories that you heard growing up, there's, you know, like I said, there's a lot of lovely, very wealthy people out there.
And funnily enough, as you've just said, that was one of my other aspects when I started looking at it. It was like, well, hang on, if I've got more money, I've got more money to give.
Of course.
And then I know when I'm giving, I get more money comes back and then I can give more. So it started to look a little bit more like a flow rather than I need money and then it just sits in the bank, you know, getting all maggoty and yucky. Whereas now I start to look at it, it's like, okay, well, I've got money and now I can give. And I've got more money, now I can give more. And it creates that beautiful flow of energy rather than that staleness of energy. Yeah. When you start to, and I believe in saving money too, don't get me wrong, because I'm not a great lover of credit unless it's for assets. But, it's okay to save money, but we've still got to have it moving as well. It's no good to go without everything in your life just to save. We need to have that happy balance. All right.
Yeah. So flow. Flow is a great word to use.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're poking holes in it. And I'm going to go back to my example because that's what I know. and it was like, okay, so I remember thinking, what would mum and dad, what would my parents say? What would my siblings say if I had money or if I was like this or like that? And I started to get these messages coming back. And that's when I started to, as you say, poke holes in it. And I'd go, well, do I believe that? Is that my belief as well, or is my belief a little bit different? And I remember thinking to myself, it was like, well, actually, that is my belief, but I don't want it to be my belief. And it was then when I went, I want to change that. And that's when I started to do that sort of work. And I look, I have to say to everybody listening, I did that over a period of, God knows how long, almost 100 years. I'm sure it took that long. Whereas going with a financial coach, it's going to take you a lot quicker, I can assure you, because you will find those little bits and pieces and areas and you will question them. Whereas I accepted a lot of that stuff until I got the understanding. So I'm only talking about my experience because I know it and I know how long it took. But that's when I would question the thoughts I'd get, the intuitive messages I'd get back. And it was like, well, hang on, is that my belief or is that not? If it is, do I want to keep it? If it is, do I want to change it? And that's when I started to, as you say, poke the holes. So I really like that. So how do now, we're up to there, how do I unlearn those beliefs?
Well, it kind of comes back to the poking the hole. So once you find fault in those and you find those not to be true, you then can realize that there's no basis to those. It's just, you know, your parents and your grandparents' beliefs. And once you realize that, you then can relearn. And like you said, you now have found, you're aware of, no, this is not what I believe. This is my new current belief. And so you focus on that. You put that attention on that. So there's also some inner child work that may have to get done. You know, if there's some issues from your childhood that are playing a part here, there's various things that you can do. Again, there's the hypnosis piece, meditation. There is kind of a combination of things, but it really starts with having the crystal clear, specific vision of the life that you want, that you know that you're worthy of, that you know you deserve, and that's the life that you focus on. And so it's baby steps, it's small baby steps, it's, you know, meditating on those, envisioning that. I often tell individuals to imagine you're sitting in a movie theater all by yourself and the show is your life. And maybe it's 5 years from now. And that movie that's playing, what do you want that to look like? So see that movie 5 years from now of what you're living and just feel it with every fiber in your body. And after some time, you will start to, interestingly enough, attract, whether it's opportunities, relationships, funds, you know, a new job, whatever it is that you're working on, you will attract that because now your vibration is higher. You are looking at all the opportunities and the possibilities, and you're open to the abundance, and you're open to the love and the prosperity and whatever it is of that movie that's playing in that theater. And you'll then be, it's that reticular activator, right? It's like when you see a car driving, and or you want to buy a new car, and you decide you want to buy a blue Honda, you're going to see blue Hondas on every single freeway, right? So if you focus on what you want and what that looks like, you'll start to see those things in your world, and they will be attracted to you because you are really where your attention is. So if your attention is on this beautiful life of abundance and prosperity and living healthy and fully in your, you know, whatever that is, that then becomes your reality. And that's the start of creating that new vision for your life.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing too, Patty, as you're saying that, I remember when I first started doing that sort of vision work, and I really struggled to see, like, I couldn't see myself on a yacht, or, you know, in a great big house. I couldn't picture myself there because I hadn't done that deeper work. But I started off there, and it was like, okay, I'm not really comfortable with this, but I'm going to try and get better and better at this. So I tried to do that visualization. Then I did a lot of that internal work. And you know what? After you started doing that, my visualization became better. I could experience a higher level. And the more work we do internally, the higher we can vibrate, the higher we can go as far as our visualization goes. If somebody said to me back then, oh, you know, you could win $1 million, I would go, oh, no, I don't need that much. You know, if somebody says to me, you could get $1 million now, it's like, is that all? I want more. If I've got more, I've got more to give. That's fine. I like that. So yeah, it is. It's those playing those steps and moving along with it. So if you can start with any sort of visualization that's improving where you are now, like you say, you're focusing on something positive and you're focusing on something that you can achieve. As you do more work and you work with a financial coach, you can then boost it up because it feels right.
Yes, yes. So to your point, we have, based on our limiting beliefs and our growing up, what we heard, we have this sort of internal thermostat. Okay, so think about the thermostat on the wall in your house. It's set at 70 degrees. If it's 85 degrees outside or 90 degrees, the air will kick on and bring that temperature back down to whatever you're set at, right? So your thermostat is your comfort level. Now, your thermostat may be a income level that you're comfortable with just based on what you had growing up, what you learned growing up. It may not be what you want. Your income, you want a lot more of income because you want a certain lifestyle, you want to be able to give or whatever it is. But that thermostat set at this temperature, so you've got to work at raising that thermostat, raising that temperature so that you do get comfortable with the higher numbers, whether it's $1 million, like you said, that suddenly becomes very comfortable for you to manage and you know what to do with it. So part of that is understanding that we have that. And that's why you see a lot of lotto winners who suddenly come into millions in a very short period of time. They've gone through it all. And not that they consciously just, you know, toss it, but subconsciously their thermostat is still, you know, down here, and they aren't comfortable with that. Even though it's good to have the higher income, it's still not familiar. It doesn't feel safe to them because they're not used to it. It's not something that they are just accustomed to. So subconsciously they just spend it, they blow it, they, you know, whittle away at it. And that's why it's so important that when you do get into a, whether it's an inheritance or if you got lucky enough to win the lotto or something else, that you have some people around you that are helping you with managing that, and you get out of your own way, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really like that. So we've gone through all the mindset and everything. So we've got our foundations set. Well, if they're ever set, you know, I don't know if mine will ever be set. But anyway, we've got a foundation set.
We're always growing.
You're always growing, absolutely. So I want to start building now. I want to actually do that physical aspect. So I've done all that spiritual stuff and I've done all the emotional stuff and I've done all the mindset stuff. Now I want to actually do the physical stuff. What would you recommend people, mainly, I'm going to focus on women because that's mainly who listens to the podcast, but what would you focus on? Where do they start? Like how do you start if you wanted to look at supporting yourself, or, you know, that sort of side, your finance side?
Yeah, great question. So we get to the mechanics of money at this point, where we really get into the strategy. So where we start is where we're at right now. And I always use this example. If I were to blindfold you and I put you in the middle of the country, and I'm in the US, so I'll say in the middle of the US. So let's say I put you in Texas, and I took off your blindfold and I took away your phone and your GPS and a map and everything. And I said, okay, get home. The first question out of your mouth was, well, where am I? Right? So you have to start where you're at. So that means looking at everything you have coming in and what you have going out financially. So people don't like the word budget, and I don't love the word budget either, but you've got to track your spending and understand where that money is going out. You've got to know exactly what money is going out and to who. If it's, you know, credit card debt, if it's just living expenses, if it's discretionary, if it's non-discretionary, if it's a lot of eating out, if it's a lot of just, you know, spending frivolously, you have to understand what that looks like coming in or going out, and then look at what's coming in. So I've got, you know, my job, my whatever other income you have coming in, and you go, okay, am I upside down every month, or do I have positive cash flow? At the end of the day, it's cash flow that brings you comfort. If you're upside down every month and you're bringing in less than what's going out, that's going to create a strain on your world. So start with understanding where you're at from a cash flow perspective, and then understand where you're at from a net worth perspective. So all of your assets, list out your retirement accounts, checking, savings, your home, not necessarily your car, because you're not going to sell your car, but you want to really know what your net worth is. And so you have a good understanding of your assets and your net worth and your cash flow coming in or out. And that is something that is so simple, but not always easy. People don't love to track their spending. And I'm not saying do it, you know, forever. I'm just saying for the next few months, as you get a handle on things, if you're trying to navigate just getting started on your own, you've got to be able to track that money and see where things are going out. And I can almost guarantee you, you're going to come up and see things that you spent money on that you had no idea. And I'll give an example. I was working with a client when I was a financial advisor. And one of our conversations was the fact that he was spending so much that he didn't know where it was going. And he made really good money. He paid his bills just fine. So I said, let's take a look at your spending. So we took his bank statements and his credit card statements. His bank statements were his debit card transactions and his credit card statement. And long story short, he was spending about $1,000 a month in eating out and fast food. And he was blown away. He had no idea he was spending that much money on food, and not even food grocery money, but just eating out and, you know, stopping at a gas station here or 7-Eleven there or whatever. And it added up, and it was absolutely mind-boggling. So that's mm-hmm. where we started.
And also, just on that note too, I remember, you know, I always check my credit card, because I like it on a zero balance. That's my goal. When you're, look, with internet and everything else, when we hook into different things, I know of people that have had bills coming out of their credit card that they didn't even know that they had bills for. And it would be like they'd signed up for something and forgot about it. And yeah. A couple of years later, it's still coming out of their credit card account.
Yes. You should be watching your credit card, every transaction, every debit card transaction through your bank. Absolutely. Every couple of days, I jump on every couple of days, because mistakes happen. There's mistakes at the retailers that are charging. Obviously identity theft is very big. So you must get on top of all that for sure. And yeah, good for you for watching that, because, you know, there are errors, and you've got to be mindful of that. And then, like you said, like, oh, I didn't realize I still had this membership. And I don't even use it anymore. I need to get rid of this. So yes, that's just money down the drain.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, if you've got that awareness for where you are at now, that's going to make a huge difference. And look, even if that's the first and only step they take for their controlling their finances or looking at your finances, to me, that is absolutely huge. And I know when I first did this, and again, I had to do all that too. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. It showed. It doesn't worry me now, because I'm aware of it all. But before when you weren't, you felt like I felt like an idiot. I thought, oh my God, this money is going out. And I had no idea. I had no idea. Like that guy was spending so much money on whatever it was. And you start to really, really question it. Even in my business, it's like, okay, now I'm going to start to be a lot more mindful of, because how many of those bloody software programs do we pay for and then not touch and not use? So all of those things, when we start to really put it down on black and white, it's really in your face. It's really in your face. And if you can get through that, then you really need to contact Patty and start getting some financial advice, because she's going to help you on that. But before we go any further, because until you've got all that done, there's no point in us talking about investments.
Right.
Because
right.
You need to know where you're at. And if you know where you're at now, then talk to Patty about investments. And the details are all down in below in the description. But because we're getting a bit low on time, you've got a book out, Patty, and I wanted to ask you about that. It's Money Rules 101. What's that all about?
So Money Rules 101, the subtitle is Master Your Money Before It Masters You, actually is a rewrite and an updated version of my first book, which was How to Ditch Your Allowance and Be Richer Than Your Parents, which was written for the teenage market and the college age market for the young adults who were coming out of college with debt and not understanding money at all. Because we don't teach it in schools, unfortunately, and a lot of times it's not talked or discussed, you know, really openly at home. So it was written for that market, that young adult market. And so Money Rules 101 is an updated, you know, version of that. And it's sort of for the parent as well as the young adult. At the end of the day, money rules is money rules. It's all the same for everybody. But it's very simple. It's very simple language. It's written down, easy to read. It's a quick read. And it covers many different topics, very holistic, you know, financial piece. So, it's a great way to introduce your high schoolers and college kids to money. And it's a great read for yourself. I actually had financial advisors and attorneys read it and tell me that they've learned something. So it's for everybody.
Wow, that's really cool. And I love the play on words, like money rules. It's like, yeah, money rules. And then hang on, it's money rules.
Money rules. You know what, Susan, before I forget, I want to add one thing, because I know I'll forget for later. Back to the budget and whatnot. I have a spending tracker that I put together. It's an Excel spreadsheet that breaks down various line items. And if anybody wants it, just email me at hello@pattyhandy.com, and I'll email you that spending tracker. So that way you can at least get something started to start to document those expenses easier. So just email me and I'll be happy to share that with you.
Oh, that is lovely, because that was probably one of the things that, would really, really help. People back in track and understanding it. But be mindful, be in the right space when you're doing that, because if you've never done it before, it really is in your face. And that's perfect. If it's in your face, then it needs work. It really does need work, doesn't it?
And it's really rewarding. You know, I mean, as you know, yucky, it's like, oh God, do I really want to do this? But when you're done and you see things clearly, it's like it's like a mirror for yourself. It's like, oh, okay, now I see what's going on. It's empowering. It feels like, okay, now I feel good about this. This is kind of cool. It's kind of like going to the gym. Like the first time you go, it's like, oh gosh, do I really want to be here? And then you feel good when you leave, and then you keep it up. And then a few months later, you're like, oh man, I missed a gym day. Shoot, I really want to get to the gym. So it's just that mindset of being in control of your finances and your life, which is a very empowering place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I shouldn't say it in a negative way, because it is very positive. It is very in your face, but it is really, really empowering at the end. And I must admit, I felt quite uplifted once I saw it. You felt like you, at long last, you had control of the reins, you know, and you know where you're going, you know where, and okay. I remember when I first did, it was like, okay, I wanted to be like three steps ahead than what I was. And it was like, oh no, I had to come back and go one step at a time. But in doing that, it actually put me on the right path to get to where I am now. And it's been absolutely wonderful. So do the yucky bits, because it's really, really worthwhile. And connect with Patty. It is hello, did you say?
Hello at pattyhandy.com is my email. And then I'll send you that spending tracker, no problem.
Yeah, I reckon that's a great idea. And that's going to get you started. Yes. But we are getting low on time, Patty. Have you got anything? I've got your thing going down the bottom. Have you got anything else you want to bring forward?
I just have a ebook and a short 30-minute training that I think might be of interest. I took I gave a 5-day masterclass earlier this year, and that training is a condensed 35-minute version of that masterclass, but it's packed full of great education and training. We go a little bit deeper on the money mindset stuff and some other investing things. The ebook is Women Soaring Solo. It's a financial and life guide. And it's a free download. You just put your email name on the homepage of my website. You'll see that there. And the download would come to you, the ebook will come to you, and then you'll be able to watch that training. Be great information for you.
Yeah. And look, you've got to get that information. You've got to get that understanding. If you want to really be serious about, being in control of your money, in control of your finances, and in control of your future, you need to start doing the work. You really do need to start doing the work. And as busy as we are and everything else, if we don't put the time and effort in, don't sit there and whinge about it in 10 years' time, right? Because I'm not going to listen.
Yeah, and it does become easier. I mean, working with a coach does become easier. I work, with my gals, and I it's a lot of it's just very empowering. It's a great way to step into your greatness. It's a great way to take charge of your finances, gain that clarity, gain that sense of security and that understanding of your finances. It's a wonderful thing. So it's a gift to yourself for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree with you. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Patty. I reckon we've done really well. We've got an understanding of our awareness. When we know we've got those funny mindsets or those funny beliefs, we know that we can start to poke holes in them, get an understanding of that. And then we can start to relearn and go that way. That gets our foundations. Once we've got our foundations, then we've got to start doing the learning side of it. Or make sure you've got your vision happening. But then we've got to start doing the learning side of it. So where we are now, get an understanding of what we're spending, get an understanding of what our money's doing, and then we can go forward. And if you can't do that on your own, connect with Patty because she can help you with that. Yeah?
I can help you with that, yes. And the investing piece as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because once they've gone there, then they're going to want to go ahead. And I can see you really helping with that. That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show, Patty.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate you having me. It's been great chatting with you.
Oh, I love it. Just wait there and I'll chat with you again. So, guys, you've got her, Patty's website. Now, she's got a couple of things on there. So if you send her an email to hello@pattyhandy.com, yes. It's in the description. Send her an email. She will send you that spreadsheet. And there's also the download on the website too. Go and have a look at that. It's really targeted for women. It's going to help you. You've got to do this work. You've got to get there this is what you want to be or what you want to do. But that's me for this week. What was I going to say? I have got, if you want to understand how you are getting your intuitive messages, because this is all part of it. If this feels right, you'll get these intuitive messages for you. If you want to understand how you receive your intuitive messages, I've got a little quiz on the website too, intuitivenature.com.au, Australian Business. Jump on there and have a look. But that is me for this week. I have had 2 weeks of holiday, so I'm back at work again, and I hope you guys are all going well too. Thank you so much for listening. Share, like, subscribe to the podcast, and I will see you all next week. Okay, bye for now.